2 Kings chapter 2. Again, this is the second lesson in Elisha, his life and miracles. And we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Just a short section for this evening. Now, Elijah had just got done parting the Jordan and in front of the prophets, the sons of the prophets. And Elijah was taking from him. His mantle fell. Elisha picked up the mantle, and then that was evidence of his being under Elijah and in God's man for the time. And the sons of the prophets, they saw that, and they said that it says in verse 15, the spirit of Elisha does rest on Elijah, and they came and met him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And so now he's over on the Jericho side, and he's just finished his conversation with the 50 basically unbelieving men. They wanted to find Elijah's body. And he said, "Don't go, it's not there." And they said, they just kept on after him. And then Elisha finally yielded and said, "Go ahead." And then they looked 3 days and didn't find it. And he said, "I told you not to go." This is where we pick up this evening's lesson in verse 19. And the men of the city, that is Jericho, said unto Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is naught, and the ground is barren." Elisha said, "Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein." And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the springs of the water, and cast the salt in there, and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I, the Lord, have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land." So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Now, on the surface, the first thing we have is the request. These men gather around Elisha, and they have a request. But notice how it's worded. This is so typical of religion of this day. Notice how it's worded. "Behold, we pray thee," I pray thee. What has that got to do with your question? Just ask your question. Okay? "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city, it's pleasant." Look at all the churches. Look at all the parks. Look at all the stuff that we have going for us. However, but the water is naught. Now that word naught means bad or evil. The city's pleasant, but the water, and you know how long you can live without water, without good water, is bad or evil. And then they make this comment, "And the ground barren." Now that word barren means miscarry. So the margin reading is correct. The ground because the water is bad, this causes the ground to miscarry. What they're saying is this: we're fine. The city's pleasant. We just have this little problem, this small problem. The Lord cursed this city. You remember Jericho? This is Jericho. The Lord said he cursed it after the walls came down. He cursed the city. The water is bad, and the ground causes to miscarry. So to rephrase this in a little bit more direct question is, our request to the man of God, God is salvation. Our cattle, our wives, our children's progeny, the fruit, the trees are all dying or will die. They miscarry. And I started to research this a little bit more. The water's bad. there's some reason in it that the women drank it, it miscarried. The cattle, the sheep, the birds, the pets, the fruit. But isn't our city pleasant? Isn't our city pleasant? That's today's religion. It says it has the same mindset. It has the same mindset. We're kind of sinful, but not too bad. You know, he does good things for people. He pays his taxes. He doesn't smoke and chew and run around with those who do. You know, Henry used to say that. All these different things. But they're missing. Water is life. And they can't even have any offspring, fruit, flora, fauna, human, otherwise. Death is all around these people, but we just have a happy, false gospel thought. That's all. No. This calls for an absolute God-given miracle for healing this city if God chooses to do so. They came to him. They came to Elisha. We're not going to let, this is our city. This is where mom and dad were raised, et cetera, et cetera. But there's no gospel here. If God wills, I'll heal this place. You and I are dying. We are extremely sinful. We're anti-God, anti-Christ. We love quick, painless, man-made, man-centered religious fixes. And they wanted Elisha to do something. Don't bring God into this thing. Just preach a generic gospel. Just preach a gospel that says God loves everybody and its rest is up to you. Just preach a cooperative, three-part, us, God and the Holy Spirit cooperating. Just do that. But here's what Elisha does. He says, bring me a cruse. And that's like a little bowl, a little crucible. Bring me Bring me a new cruse and put salt in it. And he went forth into the spring waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord has healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. This is a miracle. The cruse, it's an empty vessel. It's like us. We're born this way. We're born empty vessels. We're not strong enough to remedy anything. We're void of anything good. We need a sovereign miracle, an uncommon gospel to heal our polluted waters. Let us bring a new cruse. And we are new creatures in Christ. He didn't put new wine in old bottles. That's kind of a similar picture out of the New Testament. We're new creatures in Christ, used by our Master to show forth His discriminating and distinguishing grace. And yet we're still just vessels. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure, this gospel, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 6. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So he takes this, he says, give me this empty cruse, new cruse. All things are new. I'm not going to reform the old man. Give me this new, and then he says, give me salt. And that's us as well, in a sense. We are the salt of the earth, are we not? And the earth is preserved while we are in it. What does he say? The days would be shortened if it weren't for the elect. This thing would be done if it wasn't. There's still elect got to be saved. So we're kind of like this salt. And also, salt kills you know, you've heard stories of people that are have been at lost at sea, and they try to drink salt water, and they do very much that, they're going to die. So here, new crews and salt, and then puts the salt in the water. Why would you do that? Salt by itself will kill, but it also preserves. It's a picture of the gospel. So you're telling me that we have to be new creatures, like this new cruise, and we have to have salt applied. And even though, and as we understand the gospel and receive the gospel and believe the gospel, we are salt. We take on that characteristic of the gospel. And the gospel is also likened to salt. It kills before it makes alive. So you're saying we must die before we live? Yes, we should. Yes, we have to. And that's the effect of the true gospel preaching. It tears down before it builds up. The flesh must be put down and the spirit must reign. The false gospel heals no one, but the truth, when received like an empty vessel, will produce life. Who ever heard of healing waters with salt? And you know that only in Christ Jesus do we have eternal life. Do we have eternal life? Well, what's the result? Well, the result is verses 21 and 22. He went forth and he cast the salt in there. The Lord healed these waters. And so, verse 22, the waters were healed to this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. The first result is, he says, thus saith the Lord, only by God through Christ and with his Holy Spirit can we be totally healed. Elisha is just a mouthpiece. He's just the instrument. Like any person who understands the gospel, when we share the gospel with somebody, it's not us. It's the words, the truth that's spoken. So that's why he said, it's not me. It's not me. The Lord, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. The Lord has healed these waters. He did not say, I, Elisha, healed them. No. Secondly, he did not say, I, by my supposed free will, healed them. No. He didn't say, you and I and God, with all three cooperating together, healed. No, no, never. He does all the work or does no work. He saves by grace alone or does not save at all. He saves by the blood of the Lamb or does not heal anyone. The second result is there's no more death. I have healed these waters, verse 21, there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So he took that which was, they said was pleasant, their skewed vision, he took that which was unpleasant and he made it pleasant. No more death. Either we are totally cleansed or we still have some iniquity to pay for. Either Christ said, it is finished, or he's a failure. We preach either a completed, a finished, or an absolute gospel, or no gospel at all. No gospel at all. It's not a partial healing, it's a complete healing, and it's all the Lord's work. And that's what we stand on. We stand on the free and sovereign grace. And we're not going to compromise this. By God's grace, we are not going to compromise this. Because that's how God saves sinners and no other way. And you're going to hear that. You're going to hear who God is and what he's done. We must own up, like these men didn't, in verse 19. We must own up our cities. It's nasty. Our city is polluted. Our hearts are polluted. That's what I mean. I'm using the context here in verses 19, what they said, behold, our city is pleasant. No, the city may be pleasant, but we're talking spiritual application. We must say, no, I don't have any good in me, not any good at all. No, not right. No, there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that doeth good, says the scriptures, Romans 3. No, not one. So that's what we say. And we don't try to have the mindset, or however you want to phrase it, like religion does. Try to, you know, show all the supposed good and don't ever talk about Scriptures, the truth of the Scriptures. So we say, behold, we just get right to them. The situation of this city, it's not pleasant. And the water is naught and the ground's barren. And the prophet, blessed be God, like Jonah, he didn't want to go preach to those people. He was running and he came back. And it could be in this town, in this county, that there are those who are like the Ninevites, who cannot discern the right hand from the left hand. We must have compassion on them, because we are no better. We are who hath made us to differ? It's only by God's grace. So we own up to our hearts are full of death and dying. No, it's not pleasant. And that word pleasant is good. It's not good. There's none good, no, not one. There's none good but God, the Scripture says. You're not good by nature. I am not good by nature. Our children are not good by nature. So the only thing I can think of is when we ask for mercy and grace, and peradventure, God will be kind to us in spite of ourselves, like he was to these people in 2 Kings. He could have just split the Jordan, walked on by, said, we need to find them. No, you don't, and just kept on walking. But he stopped and he gave them audience. We need to bear one another's burdens. We need to bear one another's burdens in this vile, sinful world. Friends, neighbors, whatever you want to call them, if they don't understand the gospel, they are like us from birth. They're not good. But peradventure, this being seen by the Holy Spirit, conviction and confession and humility and owning up to our sinnerhood. And just like I said, peradventure, Elisha would stop. Elisha would stop. Like old blind Bartimaeus, he got the Lord's attention and he stopped. But he didn't. He just said, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me. And that's what we need to see. We don't need to be playing games, because God knows, as Nathan preached Sunday, he sees everything, knows what's in our mind, our hearts, our actions. We just need to be honest and confess. And if he gives a heart of confession, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins for Christ's sake. Amen. Nathan, would you close us?